eyes. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray against the spirit of addiction in this room, Father God. Holy Spirit, fall down on us, Lord. Cover our souls, Father God. Cleanse us, Jesus. Bathe us, Father God, from this filthy world, Lord. Wash away as much dirt as possible, Father God. Lord, we repent of the sins we've committed, Father God. Please forgive us, Father God. Lord, we hunger and we thirst, Father God, for your word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I know I have a lot to repent for, Jesus. Just spend some time with God right now and just think of things you've done that you want to repent of. And let's just come before his throne tonight with just a spirit of thirst, just wanting to be cleansed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Father God, for everyone that showed up tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that those that showed up tonight will be touched, Father God. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that those that showed up tonight, Father God, will have a better understanding of you, Lord. That they will just be able to love you in a deeper way, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. You can hear a pin drop in the room right now. You know, for years, the Jews waited for a leader who had been promised centuries before by prophets. The Jews believed that this leader that they called the Anointed One, which means Messiah, would rescue them from their Roman oppressors and establish a new kingdom. That was the belief. A physical kingdom that they could see on earth. They believed that he would become king and he would rule the world with justice. And they didn't understand the prophecies, who said that this king would be a suffering servant, who would be rejected and killed. It's no big surprise to me that many of the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah. I want to preach out of the book of Matthew tonight because it is such a powerful and anointed book. It is the first book of the four Gospels. Matthew was indeed one of Jesus' 12 disciples. We're going to go over the whole book tonight. Matthew was once a hated tax collector. But when Jesus passed through his line, it changed Matthew's life forever. He then goes on to talk about Jesus' birth in early years. Even goes into talking about the escape from Herod into Egypt. Matthew tells a story of them returning to Nazareth. Matthew then goes on to talk about Jesus' baptism by John. And then when Jesus was baptized by John, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. Matthew tells a story of his temptation by Satan. Matthew talks about the very first sermon, which was completely amazing. Jesus was always preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And he was always trying to get the Jews to understand that the kingdom is coming. And despite all the opposition from the Pharisees and others in the religious establishment, Jesus continued to teach concerning the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, better than anyone, records Jesus' final days here on earth. The Last Supper, the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas betrayed him, the flight of the disciples, Peter's denial, the trials before Cephas and Pilate, Jesus' final words on the cross, and his burial in a borrowed tomb. Matthew even records the Messiah rising from the dead. Matthew is an amazing book. We're going to spend some time in that tonight. The whole story is there. Chapter 4, verse 17. Because this is really where Jesus' ministry started. This is after he has been baptized by John. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Before that, he spoke to Satan. Before that, he spoke to John. But these are the first words that he preached. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. What did that mean? Matthew uses this phrase because the Jews, out of their respect, did not even pronounce God's name. The kingdom of heaven is still near because it has arrived in our hearts. Jesus started this ministry with the same message people had heard John the Baptist say. Repent of your sins. That message is still the same today. Each of us should repent of our sins. Becoming a follower of Christ means turning away from our self-centeredness and self-control and turning our lives over to Christ's direction and control. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That means repent of your sins. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Amen? There was a crowd that gathered, and Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. When Jesus began to announce that the kingdom was near, people were like, okay, how do I get into the kingdom? Jesus said that God's kingdom is organized differently than the world kingdoms. In the kingdom of heaven, wealth and power and authority are completely unimportant. Kingdom people seek different blessings and benefits, and they have different attitudes. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Father God, please, Lord, in the name of Jesus, make me humble. I am so prideful. I need to change. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. When people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers, be happy about it. Be glad. for a reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Persecution for our faith is good for so many reasons. It takes our eyes off of the earthly rewards. It strips away supernatural belief. It strengthens the faith of those who endure. And our attitude through it becomes an example to others. Jesus was beginning his ministry. He was teaching. And people were, they had never heard such a powerful teaching before. When I hear those words, it's like a warm blanket that covers me and surrounds me in nothing but love. Because those words penetrate to the middle of my soul. Jesus began teaching about adultery, about anger. What does he say about anger? In 21 he says, "But I say to you, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." Killing is a terrible sin, you guys. But you know what else is a great sin? Is anger. Because it violates God's commandment to love. Anger, sometimes people get me so angry. Oh, there are brothers and sisters in church that I have helped so many times financially, and they go and they badmouth me to scorn. They're so rude to me. And it makes this bitterness and seething hatred against them. But God says it's dangerous to have that emotion. And it leads only to violence and hurt. Anger keeps us from developing a spirit pleasing to God. Jesus also taught about revenge. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There are other scriptures that say that as well. Deuteronomy 19:21 says, "You must show no pity for the guilty. Your rule should be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." Leviticus, "A fracture for a fracture, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Whatever anyone does to injure another person must be paid back." Even in Exodus, "An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot." But Jesus said, "Do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek for them to slap also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your other coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." When we are wronged, our first reaction is to get even. Instead, Jesus said we should do good to those who wrong us. Our desire should not be to keep score, but to love and to forgive. This is not natural. It is supernatural. There are so many people that have done me wrong, and I am so angered with them. Supernaturally, I need to love them and forgive them. But only God can give the strength for us to do that. Amen? Amen. Instead of planning vengeance, pray for those who hurt you. That is so hard. The next thing Jesus taught us is to love your enemies. Oh. In chapter 5, verse 43, it says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But Jesus said, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." That is so hard. Telling us not to retaliate, Jesus keeps us from taking the law into our own hands. By loving and praying for our enemies, we can overcome evil with good. It is possible. These last 2 years I've gone through such an enormous trial, but I have prayed for my enemies when they were persecuting me. I have prayed for them. And God fights your battles for you. By loving and praying for our enemies, we can overcome evil with good. It is possible. Jesus also taught us in chapter 6 about giving to the needy. Sometimes I give when I've got nothing to give. Listen to what Jesus says. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Jesus continued, I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. Jesus was talking about those priests and those rabbis that would stand on the street corner near the synagogues and pray. They would be seen by everybody. You've seen them on TV going like this, right in front of the wall. They pray there for hours. People walk by and, oh wow, what a holy man. In the hot sunshine, he sits there and prays for hours. Oh, what a holy man. But Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is the reward they will never get. Jesus said they have their reward. You know what their reward is? People walk by and go, ooh, wow, they're so godly. But this is what Jesus tells us to do. When you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you openly. When you give money to someone in need, don't do it openly. Don't tell other people how much you give. Oh, I help that brother out all the time. I just gave him $500 last week. Oh, wow, Phil, you're so generous. I know, I shouldn't have, but you know, it's for Jesus, right? Made me look cool in front of my friends. But the correct way would have been giving some cash and shoving it in that brother's pocket. Put this in your pocket, here's some money for some food. Shh, don't tell no one. No one knows the good deed you did to that brother. When Jesus says not to tell your left hand what your right hand is doing, he is teaching that our motives for giving to God and to others must be pure. It's easy to give with mixed motives because we're looking cool in front of others, or maybe we want to get something back or in return. But believers should avoid all scheming and give for the pleasure of giving. And as you respond to God's love, don't let our motives be selfish. We should do our good deeds quietly or in secret, with no thought of reward. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, the greatest rewards I have ever received from God were the times when I gave when no one knew that I was giving. The times that I took someone home. The times that I drove 2 hours for a brother. The times when I laid down $1,000 in cash to some kid at the gas station who was trying to make it to San Diego. The times when I helped pay for someone's school. Or the times when I paid for someone's cell phone bill. There are so many givers in church. So many people that help other people. Behind the scenes that you never hear about. When you give privately, when you help people privately, when you don't share with people why you're giving, when you do not let anyone know the good deeds you've done, God will reward you openly. God will reward you openly. Duke gets blessed. He doesn't know it yet. He doesn't recognize the blessings. But he comes to my house and he cleans my carpet and refuses to take money. He works until sweat rolls down his face. I've watched him from a distance work so hard. I have large dogs He cleaned my whole garage one time with steamy hot water. And for the first time in years, there was no dog smell. And he did it for free. And no, he never told anybody what he did. He never bragged about what he did. And it was such a blessing to me and my family. And God will reward him openly for that. When you give in secret, God will reward you openly. I am telling you, you can take that to the grave. Amen? Amen. So when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. But go away by yourself, Jesus said. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Sometimes I'm going through such rough times. I wake up, I'm so sick to my stomach that I do not even have the strength to pray. And I often open up this scripture. It's an amazing scripture. It's very, very powerful. Chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus tells us how to pray. Repeat after me. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. But rescue us from the evil one. This is called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus gave it to the disciples as a model for them and for us to keep in mind as we pray. We should always praise God. Always pray for his work in the world. Pray for our daily needs and pray for help in our daily struggles. Always forgive others. I know it's so hard, brothers. I know it is. If we refuse to give others, God will also refuse to forgive us. Why? Because when we don't forgive others, we are denying our common ground as sinners. God's forgiveness of sin is not the direct result of our forgiving others. It is easy to ask God to forgive, but it is difficult to grant that same forgiveness to others. I forgive them. Amen? I forgive the pressure washer guy that was there for 2 hours and said he was there for six. Amen? I forgive the people that sit in my office and run other businesses using my office supplies, my computer, my phone. Amen? Amen. I forgive people that badmouth me and talk bad about me that I've helped financially. Do you guys understand?
I do.
The purpose of Matthew is to prove to the Jews that Jesus was king. It was written.
So the Jew was anti-Christ back then?
They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
But Jesus was Jews.
I know. Because they were expecting some worldly kingdom and some king that was going to take them away from all of that. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word tonight, Father God, resonated in the souls, Father God, of all that were here tonight, Father God. Lord, I thank you so much, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you just fill their souls, Lord, with your love. All the pain taken away, Father God. Just love, Jesus. Just love, Jesus. Father God, I pray against the spirit of addiction, Father God. I pray against the spirit of greed, Father God. Lord, I pray against the spirit of hate, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that all of the mental wounds, Father God, that people carry with them, Lord, in this room, Father God, are melted away in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, I pray that those in attendance tonight will bring others next week, Father God. I pray that they will use their evangelist giftings, Father God, to bring other people.